If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of James, the New Testament. The letter of James, chapter 1. Reading verse 26. James, chapter 1. In reading verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And our subject this evening is avoiding vain religion. Well, we have considered many things in this tremendous first chapter of James, a chapter, I'm sure you will agree, that is full of practical advice for us. The first teaching of the New Testament church from James, the elder of the church at Jerusalem. And well, it is so insightful, so challenging for us, speaks very hard things to us about our sin, about why we are tempted. It is within us. It is our own lusts and our pride. And well, this first chapter, if it serves to do anything, really, you could sum it up in two words. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. This is what this chapter is asking us to do. There was that tremendous illustration about a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We considered that last week. And what a foolish thing it is that if he sees faults in himself as he looks in the mirror, but does nothing to correct them, well then, that is great foolishness. That is a great tragedy for somebody to do that. There is an exhortation to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We must correct ourselves. We must examine ourselves in the light of Scripture and in the light of this New Testament teaching. But now we come down to the final two verses in the chapter, and verse 26 particularly is tremendously challenging for us. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If any man seems to be religious, this is speaking about the outward acts of religion. We could sum it up in our day and age as those who are very good attenders at church, churchgoers, those who love singing the hymns, possibly those engaged in service, Sunday school workers, those who partake of the Lord's Supper. Outwardly religious, they seem to be religious, those who profess faith. But all those things, and they're good things, I'm not saying they're bad things, all those things, James says, are in vain. If there is some great fault still in you, some unbridled sin, some unrestrained habit, if that is still in you, your outward religion is vain. That is the tremendously challenging teaching of James. And again, we can see that he's urging us to examine ourselves. Your outward religion, very strong, but there is something very wrong in you. Something unbridled, something unrestrained. And well, the particular fault or sin that is mentioned here is the inability to keep the tongue in check, to keep himself from saying that which comes into his heart and his mind immediately. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, restrains his tongue, bridle the tongue as you would bridle a horse. When you're riding a horse, you have to bridle it, to control it, to restrain it. He's saying here, you have to bridle your tongue, restrain it. Why does he mention this particular sin, if you like, this particular failing, rather than any other, bridling the tongue? He could have used any other example, and we'll talk about that a bit later on. But he mentions the tongue particularly, and we'll later go on to speak about it. Well, maybe it's because this sin, this particular feature or bad habit, reveals so much about us, reveals so much about our character. The things that we say reveal tremendously our character and the true state of our hearts. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew, did he not say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? When we speak, we're revealing the true state of our hearts. We can tell so much about one another. And well, these things are so profound, and yet they're so very true. We can examine it even in our own lives. If somebody's heart is full of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see it just by speaking to them for only a few minutes. Just engage them in conversation. Ask them to speak to you. You will soon see that their heart is full of Christ, that they love God, that they want to speak about God, about Christ, about his word. What he speaks will reveal his heart. They'll want to share their testimony. They'll want to speak to you about all the things that God has done in their lives. The tongue reveals so much about them, and these things are so very true. Somebody whose heart is full of love for the Lord. But similarly, if somebody's heart is not full of the love of God, well, then you can speak to them for hours. You can speak to them for days. You'll never hear anything spiritual. They'll turn away from any spiritual discussion. They'll want to stop any conversation that goes along that way. Oh no, we don't want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, not at any great length at all. In fact, they don't really know how to articulate spiritual things. You ask them to speak about conversion, about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. How are we saved? How do we get to heaven? They don't know what to say. They are not articulate in that way. The Lord, well, we can put it this way. The Lord has not loosened their tongue. When we are saved, our tongues are loosened, as it were. The dumb are able to speak. The dumb, those who are ignorant of spiritual things, they are able to speak when the Lord works in our hearts. But when he hasn't, well, like I've said, you can speak at great length to people and they will not say anything remotely spiritual. It will not mean anything to them. It reveals the state of their heart, you see. There's no heart in their religion. It's just outward religion. Yes, they're very good at everything else. Outward religion, but their heart is not in it. And we spoke this morning about the Christian faith being a heart religion. Your heart has to be in it. Everything about you has to be in it. If not, your religion is vain. That is the teaching that emerges from this letter of James. But then we read further into this verse, and it speaks about the heart being deceived. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Well, the idea that presents itself to us is that someone may be, as we have spoken, may be very outwardly religious, and yet he's not bridling his tongue. He's gossiping. He's unkind. He's critical. He or she is angry, speaks angry words. But at the end of the day, he doesn't think it really matters. Oh, yes, I speak loose with my tongue at times, but it doesn't really matter because outwardly I do all the right things. I go to church, I'm in an avenue of service, I'm a Sunday school teacher perhaps. Doesn't really matter If my tongue speaks angry things, if I gossip, doesn't really matter at all. He's deceiving his own heart, you see. He doesn't bridle his own tongue. He trusts in his outward religion, and he thinks that's all right, but he's actually deceiving his own heart. It does matter. His loose tongue does matter. It's making his religion vain. And well, it doesn't have to be just the tongue that people excuse and dismiss. It could be anything. Maybe there could be a person who eats too much, gluttony, can't stop for more than 2 hours without reaching for something to eat. Well, then there's no self-restraint, no discipline at all. Oh, it doesn't really matter. I'm a Christian, you see. I go to church very regularly. It doesn't really matter. There can be slothful habits in us. We sleep too much. We watch the things that we shouldn't watch too much. Sit for hours in front of the television. And we don't think it matters. We deceive our own heart because we're so outwardly religious. Because we're members of a church. Oh, it doesn't matter. God will just forgive me. We deceive our own hearts. The teaching of this verse is that everything matters. Every little thing matters. We spoke about superfluity of naughtiness last week. Superfluity and overabundance of naughtiness. That's the attitude we should always take. We should never say to ourselves, oh, it's just a little sin, doesn't matter. Even a little sin is too much sin. That is the teaching of this chapter. And this is so very important because it makes our religion vain. It neutralizes our religion, you could say. Our religion is completely without power. Well, how? How can our religion be vain? What does James mean when he says your religion is vain? Well, if we think about it, and I've mentioned it many times, think of your Christian witness. Your witness, wherever you are, the workplace, the place of education, in your family circles. Well, those people, those unbelievers, they will think to themselves, this man, this woman, he or she is a Christian. We know that. We know that they go to church very regularly. And yet, well, she's such a gossip. She's such a gossip. We can't really take this religion seriously. Or maybe it's a work colleague. And they know that you go to church. But they also see that you cut corners at work. You don't pull your weight. Some days you're very lazy. Oh, yes, we know he goes to church, but he does this, this, and this. Well, people who see that, they're not going to take your religion seriously. Your outward religion is all in vain because they've identified all the things that you do wrong. He's lazy. He's a gossip. He gets angry. I'm not going to seek after Christ. I'm not going to become a Christian. The religion is vain. Yes, you may be very outwardly good, but well, people have been able to identify all those spots, as it will later be described, in your character. All those flaws, and they won't seek Christ. Your religion will be utterly in vain. That is the fundamental way, the primary way, in which your religion will be vain. But your religion can be vain even in your own eyes. Not just in the eyes of others who behold you, who witness you, even in your own eyes. If you continue in unrestrained habits, bad habits, besetting sins, if you continue in these things, well then sooner or later you'll start to think to yourself, well, what is the point of me going to church? What is the point of me going every Sunday, going to sing the hymns, cleaning occasionally at the church, when after all said and done, I'm still a bit of a gossip, and I'm still a bit lazy, and I still sleep in when I should be up? What is the point of all this religion? You'll start to think about it yourself. You'll start to lose faith. You'll start to lose hope. You'll start to think, this religion that I trust in, it can't actually help me where I most need help. You'll start to think that your religion is vain yourself, in your own eyes. And that is such a tragedy. We must protect ourselves from that. We must guard ourselves. We must desire to keep ourselves under check and discipline ourselves in all areas of our lives. This man's religion is vain, James says, and with very good cause. But let's look at verse 27 now as we move on. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. That means genuine religion. Genuine piety, you could translate it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now, there are a few things we need to say about this before we go in depth. James is not saying that this is the whole of religion. James is not saying that this is everything that religion is all about. He's not saying this is the foundation of our faith. Of course not. The foundation of our faith, there's only one foundation of our faith. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe on him first, what he has done, why he went to the cross at Calvary to make atonement for our sin. We have to believe in that. We have to be saved by that. That is the foundation of our faith, of our religion. But if we believe in that, if we trust in that, if we are changed by that, well, then that will lead us to partake in these principles, to exercise these things. Our faith in Christ will change us to such an extent that we will then be led into these avenues of service, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. We are to be a benevolent people, a giving people, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Caring. We see people who are in great need. People, again, in our workplaces and our family circles, doesn't matter if they're unbelievers. Doesn't matter if they despise God. If we see people in need, we should be the first to go out and help them. Benevolent people. Giving people. This reflects the heart of God, does it not? God, who makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Not just on the good, not just on the church of the living God, on the evil and on the good. So we must be the first people to help anybody that we see who is in need of help. Benevolent, loving, caring people. If we have a hold on Christ, if we are changed by him, that is who we are. We're not selfish people. We're not self-seeking people. That's the way of the world. But pure religion looks to others. Can I help this person? Is keen to identify any ways in which we can assist people in any way, shape, or form. This is a wonderful virtue to have. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. But the great principle behind this, what James is really trying to say to us, is that pure religion is one of service. It will lead us to do something. We are not saved to just sit on a pew or on a seat and listen to the word of God. Not that, again, that that's a bad thing, that's a tremendous thing. But pure religion, if we're truly saved, it will cause us to do something, to serve God in the way that he has shown us. It's about service. Service, serving those who are in need, serving the church, yes, in your local church. The church, Well, it has the gospel, the great gospel message, and well, the gospel we take to those who are in great need. Isn't this man's greatest need? Isn't this man's greatest affliction that he needs forgiveness, that he needs reconciliation with God? Do you see the people in this area? All of them, every single one of them, in need, lost without God, lost in sin and darkness, heading for a lost eternity. We're not going to do anything to reach out to them. Some of us don't even care about evangelizing. We see them in their need, in their spiritual poverty. Oh no, not for me. I've got better things to do with my time. We're supposed to care about these things. We're supposed to serve God in this way. That is a great aspect of our benevolence, giving that which people need the most. And that is, of course, the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, those who don't know their Father in heaven, and widows, those who are not wedded to their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in their affliction. And finally, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Well, we talk very much about avoiding worldliness. Worldliness. Well, we are called to be unspotted from the world. We're called to be holy as God is holy. God is separate. God is pure. God is eternal light. We are meant to reflect that glory in ourselves. We are meant to be separate. We are meant to not be under the influence or the dominion of this world and its culture and such things. But worldliness, well, it's much more than that, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. We often talk about worldliness in terms of keeping contemporary worship out of the church. And it certainly is that. But it's more than that, too. Worldliness, well, it is those things that we have just mentioned. Things that beset us, our sins. Worldliness can be an unbridled tongue. That's worldliness. When you speak without thinking, that's worldliness. Doesn't matter if you go to a church that is traditional worship. If you speak without thinking, you're bringing worldliness into the church. If you're being lazy, that's worldliness. Worldliness in a very ugly form. Laziness in the church. You're bringing worldliness into the church. If you're bitter about something, bitter about your service, bitter that God has not given you something that you want, that's worldliness. The world is bitter. The world is always wanting something that it doesn't have. Are you bringing bitterness, worldliness into the church? We have to remove these spots from us. These are all spots on our character. Spots are so unsightly, and I won't speak at length this evening. This will be a shorter study, but spots are so unsightly on us. You can have the most beautiful face in the world. You could be a top model, a male or female, very beautiful, very statuesque. But you know, if you get a spot on your face, you could get a spot on your chin, on your nose, or wherever. You get one spot on a beautiful face, everybody looks at the spot. They don't look at the beauty of the face, they look at the spot. That's where their attention is directed. It's almost as though their beauty is in vain. Their beautiful face, their beautiful eyes, their cheekbones, their structure, it's all in vain. Everyone's looking at the spot. Well, that is us if we allow ourselves to be spotted with any disgusting thing from the world, with any bad habit. Examine yourselves, dear friends. Do you profess faith? Yes, we go to church, of course we do. But is there something in you that makes your religion vain? That everyone can identify. Everyone knows you're a gossip. Everyone knows you get angry. Everyone knows that you're this, that, this. Your religion is vain if that is true of you. So let us endeavor with greater zeal, with greater desire, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. These verses are tremendously challenging for all of us, but I pray it would have been a blessing to you this evening. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do thank Thee for the teaching of Thy word, though it searches us, though it examines us. O Lord, we thank Thee that we have such a merciful God, and we pray for greater help, that we may truly extract anything that defiles us, anything that dishonors Thee, anything that would make our religion vain. O Lord, bless us, we pray, and conform us again, we ask, to the image of Thy dear Son. We ask it all in His name. Amen.